Today, we're launching a new segment called The Big Fix.
We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Can we turn this around?
We have no other option.
The only option that we have is to succeed.
What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years.
That should give you an idea of what we're looking at. Every week, The Big Fix will look at climate change solutions around the world. In the studio is the world's environment team, editor Carolyn Beeler and producer Anna Kussmer. So The Big Fix. We know, Carolyn, the solutions to climate change have to be big, but is there a big fix?
Marco, there's not one big fix-all solution for climate change. What we're going to be doing in this segment every week is looking at the ways that people around the world are both cutting carbon emissions, cutting greenhouse gases, and adapting to the changes we're already seeing from climate change. So the title refers not to one silver bullet to fix for climate change, but the fact that addressing climate change is going to require big changes to how we live.
Also, we're going to be looking at solutions at every scale, from the biggest governments to the business community to activists to what individuals are doing. And we're going to be looking at just about every single part of society, how we live, how we work, how we eat and farm, how we travel, how we experience culture and art and music. The effects of climate change impact just about everything, so we should be looking at that too.
So, Anna, Carolyn, what is the intent of focusing on solutions?
Marco, we've known that climate change is a big problem for decades, but a lot of the coverage we see is what I call cataloging the catastrophe. So we're looking at the ways we're screwing up the world, documenting the impacts of wildfires in Australia, floods in neighborhoods. That's important. That's work we're going to keep doing here at The World, but we think it's important to carve out a part of our show each week to look at what we're actually doing to address climate change.
We want to reframe the conversation. So much of climate coverage is about doom and gloom, but it's also an unprecedented opportunity for change and for different ways of relating to the environment. And we want to look at that.
And you want help with this from our listeners. How can our friends out there be part of this conversation?
Yeah. To kick things off, we want to hear from you out there. Is there a solution to cut carbon that you've seen or heard about and you want to know if it really works? Email us at climateattheworld.org and we want to include you in the show.
So where are you taking us this week?
Marco, we're going to be going to Dominica, not to be confused with the Dominican Republic. It's a Caribbean island that was really hard hit by Hurricane Maria back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And as they rebuild, they're looking for their own climate change solution. But as they do that, they're facing a lot of challenges.
Well, Carolyn, Anna, thank you both very much for the setup to The Big Fix. Let's head now to Dominica.
I'm going left.
No.
Going left, yeah.
Dominica is a tiny island, roughly the size of Austin, Texas, with about 70,000 residents. It sits on the string of Caribbean islands, stretching from Puerto Rico toward South America.
So we're passing through an area called Newtown. It's on the
Pep Bardwheel, who was born here but has lived all over the world, is driving me along the coast.
As you'll see, it's quite tightly packed. A lot of houses crammed in close to each other. It's actually right on the water.
Probably the population here is concentrated on the coasts, and Hurricane Maria devastated this island back in 2017. 65 people died. 90% of the homes were damaged. More than twice the country's GDP was wiped out overnight.
Here on the right, you'll see a house that's being rebuilt with plywood. That's actually just gone up in the past couple of weeks.
Cleanup is done and rebuilding is well underway, but the damage from Maria is still clearly visible.
Sorry to interrupt, but you'll see this home. See the extent to which foliage takes over.
It's a house without a roof, and there's like trees growing through the rafters and vines growing.
Vines growing on the trees, right? So the vines.
The island's lush green interior was also hard hit by the hurricane. It is made up of volcanoes, all sharp peaks and steep valleys prone to landslides. Rivers there swelled during the storm's heavy rains.
This is a ravine that basically flooded and took houses on the side of it down into the water, right into the sea, right over there. So those souls were lost. They were never found.
Bardwheel spent 20 years working in international development and consulting across the globe at places like the World Bank and McKinsey. And she's here because of Hurricane Maria. Specifically, she's here because in September of 2017, 5 days after Hurricane Maria, Dominican Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett gave a speech at the UN in New York.
I come to you straight from the front line of the war on climate change. We as a country and as a region did not start this war against nature. The war has come to us.
Skerritt asked for help to create a new era of green economic development. And he soon set a new national goal.
We have publicly committed to the international community that we will rebuild ourselves as the first fully climate resilient nation. Our small island will shine the torch for others to follow.
That goal got attention and money, about $300 million from international donors. The UK's development arm, where Richard Carter works, was one of them.
The intent of Dominica to move towards climate resilience, as opposed to simply looking for aid once it has had an impact, was something that we found very attractive.
About a year after the storm, Pep Barduil was tasked with figuring out how to make that happen and baking climate resilience into every function of the government. She's the CEO of the new Climate Resilience Execution Agency for Dominica, or CREED. The first thing she had to do...
We talked about Dominica becoming the world's first climate resilient nation, but what does that mean?
Barduil defined it. Her team has set a series of targets for 2030, like the country getting all its electricity from renewable resources and making sure main roads are passable and electricity is largely working within 3 days of a disaster. Her agency is soon to release a report with a plan on how to get there and how much it'll cost.
So I think we're very proud that that's been done, because as much as it can be viewed as a report or a piece of paper that sits on a shelf, it's actually already guiding the journey of line ministries.
Right now, she's working with ministers to incorporate resilience targets into their next budgets. Experts say this coordinated approach to climate change planning, even as a country rebuilds, is unique in the region. What's also unique, Barduil says, is that her agency is looking beyond infrastructure.
Typically, after a climatic event or a natural disaster, there's a focus on building back better. How do we make roads indestructible, etc.? However, we're looking at resilience from a holistic perspective.
Holistic, meaning that every single resident understands the environmental risks they face and what they can do to protect themselves. Holistic also means building a stronger economy.
If your roof flies off and you don't have any money in your bank account, you're not going to be particularly resilient.
Barduil's team has helped get funding for cocoa farmers to replant that relatively resilient crop. And the government's building a processing plant to help farmers boost the quality and price of their beans and cocoa products. At Dominica's export-import agency, Barduil points out teas and handmade soaps on display.
Smells incredible. All sort of natural stuff. They do oils,
Barduil is always full of new ideas, and she half-jokingly mentions one for the nearby tourist market near the cruise terminal in the capital city of Roseau.
We need to revamp the market.
Yes.
Lloyd and I have a plan to turn the whole of the old slave market into strictly local, right? Strictly local.
Across the island, in Dominica's second city of Portsmouth, a hospital is being retrofitted so it can keep operating when the electrical grid goes down.
Anywhere on the outside we could see the PV system from.
Christopher John from Argo Development Studio showed me a big rain barrel and solar panels on the roof.
How many panels we have on the roof, Finard?
Finard's my electrician.
45 solar panels. We also have a battery backup system that will allow that energy to be stored and can be then reused through the hospital over a three-day period.
This will be the eighth hospital or clinic on the island with solar when it's done. Now, when I ask around here in Dominica, everyone understands and supports the need for the island to build back stronger. But when I mention the specific goal of becoming the first climate-resilient nation, I get a lot of eye rolls. Many see it as really unrealistic. Construction worker Mervyn Richard says he knows there's this big goal, but he hasn't noticed any changes on the ground.
To me, nothing has really changed. I think that's the ironic thing about this whole climate resilience effort.
It would be hard to overstate just how big of a challenge Dominica has assigned itself. For example, the country's resilience targets call for nearly all the island's houses to be built to resilient standards by 2030. But the government admits enforcing building codes is a challenge. Contractors say it's not happening at all. Another goal is to move everyone who lives in particularly vulnerable places to safer ground. But for years, people who have been urged to relocate here have refused. The bottom line is that these kinds of big changes are hard, especially in such a vulnerable location.
To be a resilient country, in my opinion, everything needs to be 20 feet from sea level. And we're not.
Simon Walsh is the project manager for a small local foundation called Resilient Dominica.
Is it a realistic goal? I think it's a good goal. Are we going to hit those exact measures? Maybe not, but at least we're aspiring to be there.
Richard Carter from the UK's development arm says part of the reason it's funding Dominica's resilience work is so other countries can learn from what they're trying.
We feel that this can actually teach very important lessons for the rest of the Caribbean at the very minimum.
At her office in the capital of Roseau, Bardwiel bristles at the suggestion that her team's goals may be too ambitious.
I think that there is a mindset or a perspective globally that small countries should not aspire, that developing countries should not aspire, that these nations are too dysfunctional to achieve anything. And I actually take issue with that.
The people of Dominica are resilient, she says. They've survived colonialism and slavery. Now they're living with climate change, a problem they did little to create.
So to now say that we want to achieve climate resilience, I don't think is any more bold or certainly no more lofty than saying that we want to abolish slavery, we want to develop a vaccine for polio, we want no child to go hungry. Right? If you do not have these aspirations, then what you do is you plod along in life, allowing the waves of the world to take you where they will, allowing climate change to take you where they will, and at that point, you should give up.
Bardwiel is clearly not one to give up. Here's how she sees it. Dominica's an island of just 70,000 people. The prime minister and much of the public believe that things here need to change. And so if this place can't prepare itself for climate change, who can? For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler.
The first installment of our new climate change segment, The Big Fix There. Learn more about it at theworld.org. We also want your questions about climate solutions. Have you seen ways of cutting carbon emissions and wondered, does that really make a difference? Email us and we'll try to answer your question on the show. That email couldn't be simpler, climate@theworld.org.